Question, you're listening to CJSF 90.1 Burnaby. Yeah, keep listening.
Welcome to Screen Therapy. I'm your host, Jason Schurz. In October of 2018, I found myself in the hospital, sitting across from a psychiatrist who was telling me I had bipolar. I was sent home with a bunch of medication and laid on the couch for a week. I had my iTunes library on shuffle, trying to shake the hornet's nest from my head. Ever since I was a kid, I've been using loud music as a form of therapy. Punk rock and mental health have always been connected. This podcast looks at that connection through the lens of different guests. This is Screen Therapy. Suicidal ideation is one of the hardest parts of living with depression. Wanting to end it all, run into the forest and never come back, or just disappear. These are examples of suicidal thoughts that can worm their way into depressed people's minds and spin out of control. Iteria Rosenberg, vocalist and bassist of noise rock band Rid of Me, lives with depression and the suicidal thoughts that go along with it. Through the years, he's learned to navigate these thoughts by confronting death and putting it into perspective. If the idea of death doesn't scare him, it's easier to find the things worth living for. The love of family and friends and bandmates, and embracing the healing power of making noise and playing your heart out.
My name is Iteria Rosenberg. I play in a band called Rid of Me. I think of us as a rock and roll band. We're kind of rooted in punk. We're very heavy. We're very loud. We're very melodic. As far as my mental health goes, I struggle with some pretty severe depression, but I'm also like chilling and I'm fine. So yeah, here we are.
So when you say severe depression, how does that look? What kind of symptoms do you have?
I don't know. It's like weird to talk about. I just kind of like shut down pretty hard. Sometimes I'm suicidal, but I don't really act on anything.
Yeah. When you start to have those suicidal thoughts, I know a lot of folks, like I deal with a suicide hotline. I volunteer for that. And a lot of folks, they have something in their lives that they think about and say, okay, well, obviously I can't end my life because I've got this, this, and this. And I would imagine the music is a huge part of that for you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, music is probably like the most important thing to me. Not only like me playing music, but just like music in general. I just love music. I think it's like very healing and very spiritual and cool. And it's just the greatest. I don't know. Who doesn't love music?
Do you remember back when you were young and first getting into music and the feeling that you had with it, especially maybe going to your first show or finding out there was a scene out there that you felt like you belonged to?
Oh yeah, man. Like that was the first time that I really felt like I had any sort of identity, I guess. I remember like my mom owned a dance studio. So I danced growing up and we spent a lot of time there as children. And there was like a little boom box. She had like a little storefront, and then the studio was in the back. And I would kind of like kneel by the boom box and play like Nirvana over and over again.
Mom and dad went to a show. They dropped me off at Grandpa Joe's. I kicked and screamed, so please go.
And I remember very vividly feeling like so passionately about it. Feeling feelings I didn't know I could feel, I guess. And getting into music was a very defining moment in my life, understanding how much I loved it.
Yeah, mentioning Nirvana and obviously a lot of the lyrics and depression was a huge part of that whole catalog of music. So for me, when I went back, I was diagnosed with bipolar about 6 years ago. And looking back on all the music that I had listened to and realizing that a lot of these bands that I had listened to when I was growing up were talking about these. Nirvana was a big one.
Yeah.
So many bands that talked about mental health in their songs. And then it started making sense to me. When you were listening to Nirvana when you were a kid or even other bands, did you sense that there was something more that maybe you didn't know about at that time?
So I was misdiagnosed with bipolar disorder when I was in like sixth grade. So kind of the same time I was really getting into music was like the same time that I was became aware of my own mental illness. And I was struggling pretty greatly with it at that point in my life. So the two kind of went hand in hand. It felt like one of the reasons that I love that band, I think, is because I felt a connection. It's like with anything else, right? We're just looking to connect to things. People, I think, as a whole, like to feel unique but not alone, you know? Makes sense that that's like one of the reasons why I identified with Nirvana.
I also feel like maybe there are two sides of the coin. You've got this mental health struggle on one side and it's causing a lot of distress and grief. And then on the other side, I've got this music that I love and it's sort of almost keeping me stable because it's so amazing and provides so much creativity and fills me up, whereas the other stuff is draining me. It almost feels like it's kind of trying to balance itself out.
Yeah, sure. I think that's life. Yeah.
You mentioned being suicidal at times and having those thoughts. What sort of pulls you out of that when you have those thoughts? Obviously very, very low on the ladder of depression, but what do you do to kind of bring yourself up?
Well, I try to like conceptualize death and just like what I have going on here right now. And I'm just like, it hasn't really gotten that bad yet. Everybody's struggle. Life is really hard, you know, especially like under capitalism, especially in the States. Life's hard. And I will never pretend to understand like somebody else's journey or struggle. So when I think in terms of like suicide for myself anyway, like I'm not even against the concept or the idea of me like actually participating in the act. It's more just like, it's now the time, you know? And generally I'm like, as of right now, I have enough going on. Existentially, I'm just not ready to meet my maker, I guess. But I'm also like okay with it. Death doesn't scare me at all. I just get tired, you know, but I'm good. It's all good. I don't know. I have a lot of love in my life. I'm very lucky. I try and think about just like how crazy it is to just exist in the first place and kind of focus on that. And then I'm like, cool. It's fine.
What do the people around you do to support you when you're feeling really low?
They leave me alone.
And that works?
Yeah, I'm kind of like a introvert with extroverted hobbies. Like I'm a bartender as well. That's not a hobby. That's how I make my money. But I do a lot of like extroverted things, but I'm somebody that requires like a lot of alone time as well. When I'm like feeling that dark, I just like really don't want to talk to anybody. So the people that are closest to me kind of like know this and just kind of like let me be my thing. And they know me well enough that if I do need anything, I'll just ask. And then they just help me out.
What's it like being in a band that plays, I would imagine, a lot of bars and has to stay up super late for shows, and but also working at a bar? Do you feel like you're always in a bar?
Well, I actually just started bartending again. It's been a while since I've done it like as a full-time job. I don't mind in my free time. I don't go to bars. Well, I'm at a bar right now. Well, that's not true. I also go to bars in my free time. I'm not like the greatest at balance, but I'm not the worst at it either. So it's fine. I don't mind being bars. I like being around people having a good time. Like I may be like really stoned in the corner, like saying what's up.
I kind of feel the same way. Like, it's exciting to be around, especially live music, being around people
Yeah,
that are having a good
definitely.
time. And I mean, within reason, you don't want to deal with any belligerent people. I don't drink, so, and I've been sober for quite a while. It's too bad that social activities have to take place in drinking establishments, but it's where people hang out.
Yeah, I don't drink either anymore. I have a lot of friends that struggle with drinking and other forms of addiction. And I did too, don't get me wrong. I wasn't an alcoholic in the sense that I needed to like drink every day, but when I did drink, I was like wild. But for me, like something happened that when I stopped, I just was just like, I'm fine. I'm such a phenomenally better version of myself not drinking that I can't imagine anything would ever make me want to start drinking again. So for me personally, I can be around people doing whatever and I'm like, it doesn't matter. Like I have no desire to do it. Sometimes I miss being the lack of inhibition. I know that this is unique as well. I feel very lucky and fortunate that I can be around it in this sense and be totally fine because I know a lot of people struggle in a lot of ways. And it's very hard and it is difficult to be a musician, a sober musician, you know, that is consistently playing in bars.
So, did you find that you could notice a difference with your depression after you quit drinking? Was there something very clear about that, or was it a gradual thing?
Well, yes and no. It was less because like alcohol is a depressant, so you're like hungover. I would drink too much and get really, really dark. So it happened more frequently, like because it was like regular episodes on top of like drinking episodes. I don't know. I think I have a perpetual heaviness that I feel at all times, but I'm just like a better person not drinking. I don't know how else to put it. I just feel better physically and mentally all around.
I feel like I'm always managing my episodes, whether they're depression or manic episodes. And one of the things that I do is I just keep moving all the time. I never sit still. I never sit down. I've got things planned out for the whole day. Everything's, and it's almost like I'm afraid of just being with myself in some ways. I'm not the kind of person that'll lay in bed. If I'm feeling low, I'll get up and try to do anything. But what I realize is that I'm never stopping or resting at all.
Yeah, I'm pretty extreme in this way. Like, I'm either like crushing it and going, or I like shut down. So, like, being busy definitely helps. I have like a pretty crazy work schedule. Just the hours I keep work at the bar at night, and then I'll work like brunch and stuff. And I kind of enjoy this challenge. I like challenging my body and my mind in all sorts of ways.
How do you feel about getting really low and having to do even something as simple as a rehearsal for the band, but maybe something as big as going on a tour? Do you ever wonder about how that would play out if you got to that point?
Since I quit drinking, I've mellowed out a lot. I'm kind of low key about everything these days. I just kind of work through it. I just kind of try and focus and do whatever I need to do to reset. You know, I'm always like the first to bed and the first to wake on tour, just so I can have that time and that space to try and mitigate these things. It sucks to suffer, but not much scares me, you know what I mean? So that helps, I think. I think that's just like time and practice, right? I've had a lot of practice. And so you get good at things, I think. So including just navigating situations of all kinds.
How did it feel when you started playing music for the first time in a band? I'm not sure how old you were at that point.
First band that, or like I was a teenager, I just did vocals. for them. I don't know, it made me feel very cool. Being in a band is cool. I didn't really understand my own potential at that point. I didn't understand much of anything at that point. I've always loved music, and I've always loved going to shows and being a part of live music. So just, anytime I got to participate in that, it was like very exciting from like a young age to now.
And what about playing an instrument? Was it a form of therapy for you, or did it feel like it enriched you in some way?
So I played guitar on and off since I was a kid. But when I first started seriously like playing and singing, like fronting a band, it was challenging. I was really nervous about it, you know, I was like very intimidating thing to do. But it was came very easy to me. It was a very natural thing. I think it's just something that I'm inherently drawn to because some of us are inherently drawn to things that we're just like naturally good at. I'm fascinated by astrophysics. Physics seems amazing to me and I can like kind of wrap my mind around it, but not really. And I think it's so cool and fascinating, but I never put the time in because I'm not naturally inclined to this thing. When you kind of reveal a part of yourself or a version of yourself that has this inclination and it happens to be something that you already like know something about and that you're actually like already feel passionately about, I think things can kind of become clear and easy and fun fairly quickly. I've been very spoiled where like I've always played with really amazing musicians who have been playing for a long time, so that also helps when you're not like starting off with like other people who are starting out. You're playing with people who are like really sick and like I've been doing it for a long time and you haven't been. You're like, I gotta like play catch up. So
challenging yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
So you talked before about being misdiagnosed with bipolar when you were mm-hmm. young. What was the story there?
It was a period of time where like everybody was getting diagnosed with bipolar, like teenagers. I was 11 or 12, I think. No, I was diagnosed with bipolar. They put me on all sorts of crazy meds. I don't take any medication right now. And they all made me feel terrible. And I'm just so like clearly not bipolar. And it became like more evident as I became like an adult. There's nothing manic about me. I get very, very, very depressed, but that's a completely different thing. So it's just, it happened. And then as I was able to like become more self-aware and like understand the world better, you know, we kind of realized it was a pattern that was like happening amongst kids at that time.
Yeah.
Just because you're a doctor, just because you went to medical school doesn't mean you know everything. And doctors get treated like they're royalty in our culture and our society, but there's a lot of bad doctors out there. And it sucks because like I get, this is, might be controversial, but I get like mental health culture and health therapy culture and stuff. But like, just because you feel like your therapist understands you doesn't mean that they're a good therapist, you know? And I think sometimes people take really bad advice from people because they're a therapist.
Oh yeah, for sure. And there's all kinds of therapists that are quote unquote therapists, you know, different kinds of therapy that are way out there.
Yeah.
Traditional therapy, same thing. I mean, there's so much hierarchy. Mm-hmm. People.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Lording over people because they've got that power.
For sure.
A lot of folks are diagnosed with depression when they actually have bipolar because, of course, when you go into the doctor, you're not going to go in when you're manic because you're feeling so great. You're going to go in when you're feeling low. And so
right.
There's so many people in my support group that have been diagnosed with depression first, and then because they have a manic episode later, also because they're misprescribed, because they're being prescribed for depression, and of course some of those right. medications can drive you through the roof. So it's really weird, and so just a bit interesting to hear that it was kind of the flip for you.
Yeah, bipolar is precarious. Yeah, it was really weird. It's like I think because I was so young, like maybe certain things could come across as being manic, but I was just
punk.
Yeah, exactly. I was punk and like there was a lot of misunderstanding. It was also like different times. There was a lot less consideration of everything back then, but all good. Figured it out. We're getting there.
How did it feel to be given that label when you were young? Because I would imagine it would affect your identity and confidence and all those things.
Well, I think part of me felt relief because I was like, oh, well, at least there's like actually like a word for what's going on with me. There is something that it's not just like this made up thing. And then I was just like, okay, well, I'm bipolar. And we tried to find medication that worked and everything just made me feel, I hated it. So then I just like stopped taking my medication. I started living up on my own at like a pretty young age. Because my parents, I had a pretty tumultuous childhood at times, not like young childhood, but like later in my teen years with my parents. So I was like kind of busy trying to like figure all of that out too. It was a very surreal time that I just stopped taking meds and then went about my way. And it was hard because I was like, okay, well, this is like what's wrong with me, but I wasn't really entirely sure like how to navigate it. Still don't always know if I'm doing the right thing, but it seems to be working this far. I'm definitely in like a pretty good headspace overall, though it's really hard being aware of everything that goes on in the world. Sometimes I take that on a little heavy and it's like hard to not let that affect you. But I think when you're like already in like a potentially like dark headspace and you think about these things, it's inevitable that it's going to take you somewhere.
Yeah, and maybe better to be able to process it than someone that maybe isn't dealing with such dark and heavy thoughts. You know, it's like, bring it
on.
Give me more.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, truly. Yeah, you're like, I know exactly how this works, so let's go. Yeah, I feel you.
How important is it to be in a band and to play music for you?
The most important thing to me. Specifically this band. With these people, the best band I've ever been in every way. It's everything to me. I don't know what I would do without it. It really keeps me level. It keeps me driven. Keeps me creative. I love all my bandmates. Like, they are my best friends. So yeah, I don't know. It's like everything. I love music. I love playing with them. I love the songs that we write together. It feels very empowering. The trust that it takes. I don't really date, so the band is kind of like my partner.
That was my conversation with Ataria Rosenberg of Rid of Me, ridofme.bandcamp.com. For more episodes of Screen Therapy, go to screentherapyhq.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. Big news, the Screen Therapy book is available now. Screen Therapy, a punk journey through mental health, tells my story and the stories of others who use punk as a catalyst for mental health. Like this podcast, it links the community-minded punk scene with the mental wellness of the punks who belong to it. To order the book, go to screentherapyhq.com. For merch, check out the newly opened store at screentherapyhq.com/store. And for even more designs, check out Screen Therapy on TeePublic. Okay, enough promoting. It's time for some thanking. Thank you for listening to Screen Therapy. Doing this podcast and talking to folks about punk rock and mental health has been a crucial part of my own mental stability, and it means so much to me that you're out there listening. Screen Therapy is created in the Cathet region of coastal British Columbia, Canada, on the traditional territory of the Klahaman Nation. Contact me at screentherapyhq.com or email me at screentherapypodcast@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Let's talk about punk rock and mental health. Until next time, take care and be well. If you don't